Well, good evening, everyone.
Evening.
The video clip we were going to watch earlier is a song called This Wandering Day. It's Poppy's song, and it comes from episode 5 of this new series called Rings of Power, which is the latest iteration in the Lord of the Rings universe. Now, I know that for some of you, you were probably incredibly excited about the Rings of Power series coming out. You've been waiting for it for ages. You were willing to immerse yourself in all the geekery and nerdery that it entails, and you had a ball watching it. I expect there's also some of you who would rather stick needles in your eyes than watch any more of that elf and wizard claptrap. But however you stand on those matters, what it does serve to remind us of is that journeys are something central to our literature, to our cinema, has been from the beginning of time. The song that we would have listened to was all about wandering and wandering, going through the hard times and the good times and keeping going on the road. And it reflects this theme which we have right through our literature and our cinema. We can go right back into the earliest biblical writings, and we've got the journeys made by Abraham and by Jonah and others. In Greek myth, we have the journey of Orpheus down to the underworld. In our classic literature, we have Around the World in 80 Days and Journey to the Center of the Earth by Jules Verne. But he's French, so we probably best not talk about him today. More recently, we have Jack Kerouac's seminal novel, On the Road, Cormac McCarthy's post-apocalyptic novel, The Road, the beautiful Life of Pi by Yann Martel, and so many more. And then, of course, on the big screen, we have The Wizard of Oz and Finding Nemo and Homeward Bound and National Lampoon's Vacation and Little Miss Sunshine and those kind of movies. And then on the small screen, we have so many travel programs, don't we? Long Way Round and Long Way Up and Long Way Down. And Michael Portillo on his trains and Michael Palin making sardonic comments wherever he goes. We love journeys. I wonder what your most epic journey was. Here's mine. Some years ago now, when I was 17, I went to Tanzania with a school trip. And one of the things we did whilst we were there was we climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. And just before we climbed it, we were staying at the base of Kilimanjaro, and myself and one of my teammates were assigned the task of going to get money out of the bank to pay for all the things that we needed to get into the national park and buy our food and so on to go up Kilimanjaro. The nearest bank was a couple of hours away in a city called Moshi, and for us, the only way of getting there was by bus. So myself and my friend turned up to the bus stop just in time for when the bus was meant to arrive. That was our first mistake. The bus, obviously, was late. And when I say late, I don't mean a few minutes late or a few hours late. The bus was a day late in coming. And when it did eventually come, I rather had wished it hadn't. It was at least 50 years old and was comprised principally of rust with a few screws holding it together. It swayed into view, and I literally mean swayed, because on top of this rust bucket was piled high suitcases, bags, chicken coops, the lot. They were all tied on top of the bus, so high that the centre of gravity was some 30 or 40 foot in the air, and it looked like it might fall over at any point. Somewhat dubiously, as I went to get on the bus, a chap who was hanging off a ladder by the door grabbed at my rucksack. I wasn't very keen to give him my rucksack, but he said I couldn't get on without giving it to him. So rather reluctantly, I did. And watched, by the way, I could see back then, and watched as my rucksack was thrown from a man on the bottom of the ladder, to a man on the middle of the ladder, to a man on the top of the ladder, to a man sitting right on top of the topmost suitcase. I thought, I am never seeing that rucksack ever again. But I realized why I couldn't take it on the bus when I got on the bus, which was probably a 45-seater bus, and on that bus were well over 100 people, several chickens, and at least two goats that I could see. It was heaving, and it stank. I paid my fare and went to sit down, and just amazingly, these very generous people all budged up and provided me with a tiny sliver at the end of a seat for me to perch on. But you know what it's like when you're perching on the end of a seat. You have to lean entirely on one, and you probably weren't expecting to hear the vicar say this word tonight, buttock. And it's really quite painful. However, the road was smooth and straight at this point, and the people around me were very friendly. The journey got underway very well. However, as we went along, the roads got bumpier and bumpier. And because I was leaning all on one side, it meant that I had to lean into, well, I'm just going to say it, the armpit of a rather large lady who clearly hadn't been introduced to deodorant. And it was tough. And so we carried on along this bumpy road until at one point I realized I actually wasn't leaning over anymore. And that both, and here comes the word again, buttocks, were resting on something. I looked down to see I was sitting on a small boy's head. This poor little chap looking up to me with his big round eyes, that's obviously not appropriate. So I had to lean over even more into the armpit of doom on my left-hand side. We carried on our bumpy way until we got to a blockage in the road. Now, any normal bus driver would wait for the blockage to be unblocked. But no, not our bus driver. He reversed 30 or 40 metres back up the road and took off across country. This was bad for two reasons. One, it was so bumpy that my face was being rammed into the armpit of doom like some kind of jackhammer. Secondly, because the farmers, rather understandably, were not best pleased with this rust bucket ruining all their crops. And so we quite literally were being chased by a group of men with pitchforks and a gun. Thankfully, no one got shot, and after a little while, we went back onto the road. We carried on our way for another half an hour or so, and then it started to get really weird. We were coming down this valley on one side, down this kind of fairly narrow, bumpy road, and we were hurtling down it at breakneck speed. Clearly, when our bus driver had learned to drive, he'd been taught to use the horn rather than the brake. And so we were pelting down this hill with people on bikes and carts, and there were oxen jumping off into the ditch as we came storming down this side of the valley. What made it surreal was that our horn didn't go beep, but rather played the tune of God Save the Queen. I promise I'm not making this up. What made it frightening was that down the other side of the valley came another dilapidated old rust bucket of a bus, also going at breakneck speed, and also beeping its horn, which also didn't go beep, but instead played the tune of Ging Gang Gooly Gooly Watcher. And thus ensued the most surreal game of chicken I've ever been involved in, with these two buses hurtling towards each other, clearly on a road that wasn't big enough for the two of them to pass, to the soundtrack of God Save the Ghoulie Watcher. I thought I was going to die. I closed my eyes, embraced the armpit, and prayed for the best. Unbelievably, somehow the two buses whistled past each other. I still, to this day, don't know how we managed it. And we carried on safely on our way. We made it all the way to Moshi, miraculously, and even more miraculously, I got my rucksack back. We got $1,500 out at the bank, which I put safely in my neck pouch, and then on the journey back, two men tried to mug me by pinning me up against the window of the bus and trying to rip the neck pouch away, but I made such a commotion that eventually the bus stopped, the doors opened, and the two men ran off into the bush. We like a good journey story, don't we? At least I hope you like that. We've always liked journey stories. And I think that's because, well, partly because we like to hear or see new places and hear about adventures and so on. But also, I think, because physical journeys very often represent metaphorical journeys. And we are all on a journey. Maybe more than one. Every one of us is on the journey of life. You can't avoid that. And actually, I think by nature of being on a journey of life, we're also on a journey of faith, although we may not always realize that. At various points, we might also be on journeys of knowledge or understanding or musical appreciation or all sorts of other things. But we are all on a journey, and we're all on that journey of life. I wonder where you are on your journey of life. Maybe at the moment everything is smooth and straight. Maybe things have got pretty bumpy and feel pretty rough. Maybe you feel like you've hit a roadblock in your career or in a relationship. Maybe at the moment you feel like things are going backwards. Maybe you feel like you've gone off the road and you frankly feel a bit lost. Maybe things are just weird at the moment. You're not quite sure what's going on. Or maybe, metaphorically speaking, you feel like your face is being rammed into the armpit of doom. Wherever you are on your journey, there is good news in the Christmas story. You see, the Christmas story is all about journeys as well. Mary and Joseph made their journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. The shepherds made their journey from the hillside down to town. The Magi made their very long journey, several months' worth perhaps, from the east to come and worship the Christ child. In fact, everyone in the Christmas story makes a journey, except for the innkeeper. And he doesn't even exist. He's not in the Bible stories at all. But you know what? The greatest journey of all in the Christmas story isn't made by Mary and Joseph, or by the shepherds, or even by the wise men, but is made by God himself. The journey from being the creator of the universe to being a helpless baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. And then, of course, it was the beginning of a journey for Jesus. Because Jesus walked that same path that we all walk, the journey of human life. So why would God make that journey? Well, I believe that it is perhaps the greatest gift of all. That God, who is all-powerful, would choose to make himself humble so that he might go through the same things that we go through, so that he might truly be able to understand and empathize because he has been there. Not some big God up in the sky who looks down from above, but a God who is Emmanuel, God with us. You see, Jesus didn't just live amongst us, but lived as one of us. Jesus knew what it was like to be helpless. He knew what it was like to be happy and to be sad, to be frightened and hopeful, to be devastated, to have the thrill of playing sport, to worry about having too many spots and having a bad haircut, to worry about where the next meal was coming from, to get the calluses on his hands as he worked, to make friends, to love people, to be loved by people, to be betrayed, to experience all the highs and lows that make up our human existence. To be popular and admired, to be rejected and despised, and ultimately to suffer death. What an extraordinary gift that an all-powerful God would come and live our lives so that he might know what it is like and so that he might truly be able to walk with us on our journey. That's the gift on offer this Christmas. Wherever we are on our journey, God offers to walk it with us. Now, it might be that you find that hard to believe. And I don't blame you at all for that. It's extraordinary. In some ways, it doesn't make any sense at all until you realize it's the only thing that does make sense. In the song that we would have listened to earlier, it finishes with the line, "Not all who wander or wonder are lost." That is to say, not all who wander with an A or wonder with an O are lost. I don't know where you're at in your life right now. Maybe it feels like you're wandering with an A, a bit aimless, not quite sure what's next. Or maybe you're wandering with an O. Maybe you've got big questions about life, faith, God. The good news is that all is not lost. I firstly want to say that if you're a wanderer or a wanderer, you are welcome here at St. Luke's. And if you're a wanderer or a wanderer, then God welcomes you as well. Because the journey is crucial. As Christians, we are not all about the destination. I was reading a book recently called Utopia Avenue. It's a novel about a band, and they call their first album Paradise is the Way to Paradise. Now, I don't know if that's theologically accurate, but I do know that the journey is important. We're not just looking to what comes ahead. Actually, God thinks that what we are going through now is of central importance. It's important to us, and it's important to him. It's so important to him that he offers to walk with us on the journey. And so the good news this Christmas is we are never alone. And so my prayer for all of us this Christmas, whether things are going great or whether things are bumpy, whether you're stuck at a roadblock or in reverse or you've gone off piste or things are weird or frankly you feel like there's not really any point anymore. Wherever you are on that journey, here and now, God is saying, I'll walk it with you and we will make it through. And so I hope this Christmas that each of us will open that most precious of gifts, which is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.